Hey, praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, your pastor, Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. We're in 2 Samuel, chapter 7. There are 29 verses in this chapter, and we're doing part 11 of dealing with the self. This is the last of a series of dealing with the self. Tomorrow we'll be doing the first part of another series. But right now, we have a couple of letters. We have the translations and also commentaries. Let's ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, in heaven, and Father in our heart, Lord Jesus, we ask that you anoint this tape, Lord, for the listeners, the hearers. He that has an ear, Lord, let him hear what you're going to tell us all on this tape. Teach us. Let everything that's done on the tape be, Lord, the exact express message from you. To build our souls, to build more of you in us, and to give us more of the Spirit, Lord, so that we are able to deal with temper against you, ungodly temper, and also that we're able to deal with self and flesh, and that we're able to deal with everything else, all of the seven different aspects of the flesh. Lord, we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's begin with the three letters. Now, where's the first letter from, Michelle?
From Ghana, Africa. It says, Dear Sir, may God bless you all for the good work you are doing. May the Lord empower you with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in what you are doing. Please, thank you for what you have done for me. I don't even know what to say, for your world newsletter is doing marvelous works here, winning souls of drunkards, adulterers, stealers, and so forth. May God bless you. So please send me more copies and the Messiah, as well as 5 to 10 Bibles.
When he says the Messiah, he means the Messiah book that I've written. With the 333 prophecies of the Messiah from the Old Testament. This is a great tool for you to, if you want to witness to a Jewish person or some people that just don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And this is absolute positive proof in this book, 333 prophecies that no other man on earth could have fulfilled but the Messiah himself. Tells the day he was but would be born, and the day he would die, the manner in which he would die, the town he would be born in, be born of a virgin, and many, many other prophecies regarding the Messiah coming into the world. And then there are a lot of end-time prophecies of his return. So keep on with the letter here, please.
I personally need the book with the title The Fugitive Pope and the Pope's Secrets to read in detail.
Now, these are not books. These are different. These are just literature that I've written. They're tracts, what we call tracts in the Christian realm. Then what?
I will be happy if you send all of these. God crown you all with success. Your son in Christ, T.T. from Enchi, Ghana, Africa.
Right, and send him all these things and even more. I've done hundreds of tapes, thousands of them actually, and I've done hundreds of pieces of literature. All right, then what else?
The next letter is from East Malaita Province, Solomon Islands. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for sending me your literature and the 10 Messiah books. I shared the literature and the Messiah books to other people, and they accepted Christ. So I would like to take this opportunity to request you to send me 10 Bibles and one Aramaic Bible and some literature. I can distribute to other people, and by so doing, I will be bringing people to Christ, and at the same time winning souls for Christ. May the Lord God richly bless you for the good work you've been doing for people. Thank you, Pastor. Sincerely in the Lord, B.G. from East Malaita Province, Solomon Islands.
Right. Now, I'm not saying this because of for unsaved people, because we certainly are not looking for finances to help the ministry from unsaved people, because unsaved people don't care anything about the ministry. But those of you that are being fed the spiritual food and drink from these messages, you can hear the desperate desire that people have for the Messiah books and for the literature and the tapes. And we could reach out tremendously more if we had a tremendous more amount of money. So if you'd like to be blessed by God, this is the work of God. It's His work. And we really have never asked for tithes and offerings, but the Bible does tell you that you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to give, especially if you're living in the house of the Lord, which we have a lot of houses here, and we're supporting people and serving hundreds of meals every day for people that are desirous of becoming evangelists and pastors and teachers and preachers and so on, and helpers. And so if you are being fed by this work, by the literature and by the tapes, well, then by all means, get blessed by the Lord by sending your tithes here. If you're being fed elsewhere too, give them some also. But we can just evangelize the world that much faster if you we've been doing it by the power of God all these years, but now it's getting to be enormous, and it's more than the want is more than what we have here. We're able to send out. We send out millions of dollars worth of literature and tapes. And if you've got the finances and you want to get blessed, God will give you back, He says, 100 times more. So give at least 10%, and the Lord will bless you for it. Now, I'm preaching the Bible. The Bible tells me to do that, and so I'm not going to be negligent in that respect. All right? So are you guys out there with deep pockets, or are you women out there with deep pockets? Dig in there. Dig down deep, because there's just enormous the amount of people that are requesting literature and Bibles. And these Aramaic Bibles cost well over $100, $150, $175, $200. And the other Bibles cost a lot. Side books. All the literature costs hundreds of thousands of dollars, all right? So, you know, the Bible says that we're to do what the Lord says. We live by every word, and He says tithe. And if you don't, you're robbing Him. And some people swear, you know, that they're getting more from this ministry than they are all the others put together. And it's for sure that you people that are listening to this tape that don't have anything, you make sure you keep your money and support yourself, because we're just going to have to turn around and do it anyway. But those of you, I'm talking about those of you that do have finances, we don't want anything from anybody that doesn't have anything. But if you don't have anything much, you know, you could give 10% and God will bless it back to you a hundredfold. So if you need something, if you need a healing in your family, or you need whatever. When you tithe, you got a much better chance to get it than you would be if you don't. If you're just a dried up creek or river, if you're just a tree that doesn't bear fruit. Now we're out distributing literature, and we're writing it and printing it and shipping it. And the shipping costs are enormous, and gas prices are way up. And I'm sure the Lord would appreciate your tithes and offerings. All right, so let's get on with enough said for that, and let's get on with chapter 7 of 2 Samuel.
the Lord's covenant promise to David. King James Version, verse 1. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. Verse 2. That the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. Verse 3. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. Verse 4. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Verse 5. Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Verse 6. Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. Verse 7. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me an house of cedar? Verse 8. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. Verse 9. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Verse 10. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time.
And the Lord fulfilled all this promise. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now, if you were drifting off during the reading of the King James Version, perk up your mind right now. Amen?
Amen.
Because Satan is always using your mind for a suggestion box, and the things that he's suggesting are things of the world. And the things, the way to keep your mind occupied so that you're not going to be able to hear these things that Satan is saying unto you is to hear the Word of God. And so now read the translation so that, and listen up now.
The Lord's covenant promise to David, verse 1 through 10. Translation. When the Lord had brought peace to the land, and King David was settled in his palace, verse 2, David summoned Nathan the prophet. Quote, Look, David said, Here I am, living in this beautiful cedar palace, but the ark of God is out in a tent! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 3, Nathan replied, quote, Go ahead and do what you have in mind, for the Lord is with you! Unquote. Verse 4, But that same night the Lord said to Nathan, verse 5, quote, Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a temple to live in? Verse 6, I have never lived in a temple from the day I brought the Israelites out of Egypt until now. Bracket.
You know, and now today the Lord, we are the temple of God. Amen?
Amen.
Know ye not that you are the temple of God, those of you that belong to the Lord? And you don't belong to yourself, and therefore the Lord does not want you to receive anything in your mind from, he wants to kill all your own thoughts, your opinions, and your ideas, and just put the Word of God, because the Word of God is spirit, and it is life, and anything other than the Word of God is not good for your brain or your soul. It's not spiritual, and it's not going to do anything for you. It's not going to get you to heaven or keep you out of hell. So fill your mind with the Spirit of God, the Word of God. Okay, and it's the mind, because once the mind receives whatever it receives, well, then it starts growing. And then it once it grows into the Spirit, then the body starts doing what the mind has heard and received. And I brought a message on that the other day, and I heard I've been bringing a whole message on that now for a couple of weeks. And I don't know who they're sending the tapes to, but I hear the TV evangelists now starting to say some of the same things, you know, and it's really great, because I love that, you know, when they start preaching this. I know that a lot of the TV evangelists are receiving our tapes and pieces of literature that I've written. Okay, so let's go.
Bracket, this right here shows that God never began living in humans as temples until the New Testament. End bracket. My home has always been a tent, moving from one place to another. Verse 7.
Now we're the tent of the Lord. Okay, then what else?
And I have never once complained to Israel's leaders, the shepherds of my people Israel.
In my father's house are many tents. Amen?
Amen.
He lives in many tents. Many mansions or houses or bodies. Okay, what else?
I have never asked them, quote, why haven't you built me a beautiful cedar temple, unquote. Verse 8, quote, now go and say to my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I chose you to lead my people Israel when you were just a shepherd boy, tending your sheep out in the pasture. Verse 9, I've been with you wherever you have gone, and I have destroyed all your enemies. Now I will make your name famous throughout the earth.
See, God says that he destroys the enemies. We don't, President Bush is not going to destroy enemies. What he did is there's a man that's out preaching and telling that he was in Iraq, and he says, I was over there killing innocent people that are not military at all for the United States of America. Do you have that letter?
Yes.
Okay, let's finish that one sentence here and we'll read that.
Okay, verse 10. And I have provided a permanent homeland for my people Israel, a secure place where they will never be disturbed. It will be their own land where wicked nations won't oppress them as they did in the past.
So what my point is the Lord says, I destroyed all your enemies, David. And God will destroy our enemies, but what kind of a president is that would bomb countries and kill a lot of innocent men, women, and children that don't even know what the war is about in the first place? And so there's a lot of people that are soldiers that are getting sick and tired of being over there killing innocent people, innocent victims. So read this letter that came in. Where did that come in from?
This is from USA Today, Monday.
Monday, USA Today.
March 21st.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just read that part that you read to me.
The sign?
Yeah, what's on the sign?
He says, I killed innocent civilians for our government. And he has it on a sign.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. We have become Nazi Germany because we're going to rule the world. What they want to do is make everybody believe that I am dead and buried and that this work is over with. And so what they did is a woman that worked for Channel 5, or a channel in Fort Smith, Arkansas, told me, she says, I'm being transferred out. She said, I'm going to tell you something, Tony, and if you tell anybody that I said this, I'm going to have to call you a blankety-blank liar. And I said, well, what is it? She said, the federal government is going around. She says, they're such creeps. She says, they're going around and telling everybody, don't do interviews with Tony Alamo. Because I've been on the air with him, and people would call up and people would say, he's too smart for you. You people don't know the Bible like he does. Don't let him interview. And so they says, don't even say, even mention his name. Don't mention his name, good or bad. Don't say anything good about him, and don't say anything bad about him. Because he's gotten the word out so much that people believe him. And so if you say bad things about him, it's going to make people, it's going to be like you're trying to martyr him, and they'll even rally towards his defense even all the more. So don't say anything. And since that day, they have stopped wanting to do interviews with me. And because they know that I'm, if you will, hip to everything that they're doing, because God let me know. And they know I know, and that's why they don't want me on the air. And they even kicked, my brother was a talk show host in Nashville, Tennessee, and they came over to the station and said, quit interviewing Tony and Lamo, or else we're going to close your station down. So the station owner said, I like the way he talks, the way he explains this. He's telling the truth. And they closed the station down to get my brother off the air and closed the whole station down. Now, this is Gestapo tactics. It's the same thing as they did to the Jews in Nazi Germany. And so anything that you're hearing on in the media is just strictly what they want you to hear, and it's perverted, warped. And so they don't want me on the air, and so we just do the best we can. And as I said, if we had the finances, we could get this out to everybody in the world. And so if you're somebody like H.L. Hunt or some Bunker Hunt over there in Dallas, you know, come off of some of that loot. You know, you're not going to take it with you. And let's put it behind the Lord. Cotton picker, come on. Amen?
Amen.
Because, you know, the only way you're really going to be blessed are you Rockefellers. Convert. Get away from those people and get your money behind where it counts. The Fords Foundation and all these people. And there's a lot of people, false Christians, that false brethren that are taking finances from people like Pat Robertson. I hear he's bought diamond mines and everything, and he's got $1 billion. He doesn't need money. He's not, and he went and sold his station out. Oh, that just horrifies people. But, you know, you're not on the in crowd. But you can be. Get behind us so that we can inform the people of the world. You've got a person here that'll speak out and tell the truth about God, tell the truth about Satan, his cult, his government, one world government, United Nations, and his army, troops, you know, here in the United States, we're doing all the fighting and taking over the countries for him, and the news media that exalts the Pope to and puts down Christianity. That's what you have right now. We're right at the end of time. And if your people are going to spend some money, spend it in the right place. Spend it for the Lord so that we can do something. If you don't know the Bible like I do, well, then send your loot over here so we can get something. We can evangelize the world because the Lord wants to do a quick work, okay? And if we have your help, we can't do it alone. I mean, you know, we work as hard as we can, and we're working so hard we don't have enough troops to send out of our people that distribute the literature and stuff. And if we had somebody that would sponsor us, or several people, hundreds of people that would, we could get all of our well-trained people that know how to preach the gospel and distribute literature, we could get them out to every foreign land. We got the literature printed in almost all the major, well, all the major foreign languages. We got Chinese, Japanese, Russian, English, Spanish, Greek, French, Italian, German, many, many others. We got it in the Arabic language, the Hebrew language, all these different languages. So, you know, let's rally around the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Because, you know, you're rallying around the flag, but, you know, the flag doesn't stand for what it originally stood for. And that's why they're trying to put the Word of God down, because they don't want you to be enlightened. If you get enlightened, well, then you're going to be like us. You're not going to go for their garbage. Even if they call it garbage. All right? It's like J.C. Penney said, no, with them is J.C. Penney. Amen? No. Okay, so come on. Join us. If you haven't, if you don't want to be associated with us, send it in anonymously. God will see what you're doing, and he'll bless you. And we'll get the truth out. Okay, now, here's a man in the newspaper, USA Today, says, we're over there killing troops. And I've been telling people that, killing, can we read the sign again?
I killed innocent civilians for our government.
Yeah, in Iraq, right?
Right.
That's what these Americans see. That here's men, women, and children. They're in little shacks over there, and they bombed them out, and they made them all kinds of promises, and they're not keeping the promises. Why did they bomb them in the first place? They said they were weapons of mass destruction, and there wasn't any. When are you people going to wake up out there? What are you trying to save your money for? You say you invest at least 10% to the Lord. If you got this guy that made the microchip, he's supposed to be making $6 billion a year. Give 10% of that over here and see what happens to the world. We'll kick a hole in it for sure with the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
So he made maybe $100 billion. Give us 10 of them. And I mean it. So that we, because you people won't do it, we will. Okay? We'll do it. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And there's a lot of us. We've got people all over the world now. But we, you know, you can tell by these letters that we're out. We just can't get enough literature to them in Bibles. They just like a great need for it. And the Bible informs people as to what's going on. And what I do in my literature is I condense the Bible, and then when they read it, they can understand. They see, yeah, that's what it says. That's what it says, all right. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now let's read about this man in the USA Today.
Okay. Waynesville, North Carolina. If you were young and tough and wanted a challenge, Jimmy Massey was the man to see. He was gung-ho. He was Semper...
Semper Fidelis. That's
yes.
The Marine... Semper Fidelis. Okay, that's their cry.
He was
the branch of the Navy. I was in the Navy.
He was the strutting, cussing, tobacco-chewing Marine recruiter. The staff sergeant won scores of recruits in this and other patriotic mountain towns by talking courage, honor, commitment. Then, following his own adage, you gotta walk the walk, he went to Iraq. That was 2 years ago, before Massey left the Marines, returned to Waynesville, and began saying things about the war that make people wonder whether they really knew him in the first place.
Yeah, because they're so brain damaged by the media that they actually think this guy that's been over there and experienced and saw everything that's going on, that he's nuts and they're right. Okay?
Yes.
That's what it is. Okay, keep going.
These days, Massey carries a sign around town that says he killed Iraqi civilians. He confesses to having enticed some recruits with false promises and encouraged others to lie on applications. He's gone to Canada to testify for an army deserter seeking asylum, and he has spoken at peace rallies. He left a Marine recruiter and returned a peacenik.
All right, so, you know, there's more on the article, but we don't have time for that. But, you know, if you've got finances, you know, and you've got plenty to live on, more than enough, okay, send some here. Send 10% of everything you've got, okay, and we'll get out there and we'll do the job. And God knows whether you will or won't. And if you do, you'll know that there's a God in heaven because he'll bless you 100-fold for it. You give $10 billion, you'll get 100 times that back. You give $10, you'll get 100 times that much. God always does it one way or the other. I mean, if you've got a horrible disease like cancer, he might do it by healing you. That might have cost, maybe you tithe $1,000 or $10,000, $20,000, whatever. And it'll come back. The money that you ordinarily would have spent for doctors, lawyers, if you're in trouble or whatever, you cannot outgive God. You give to God, and believe me, it'll come back to you. Running over. Amen?
Amen.
Pressed down and running over. Okay, let's go.
King James Version, verse 11. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. Verse 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom.
Yes, and the Lord did every one of those things that he promises. And when he promises that he'll send you a hundredfold, or everything you give, if you give it with a cheerful heart, you're going to get it back a hundredfold. And what a beautiful thing. He says he'll cure up sickness, disease, everything. It's just a great life, you know. We give all that we can and have, and we're not hurting. We don't even pay attention, you know, to if it weren't for all the great needs, you know, because our work is not getting any smaller. It's getting larger and larger all over the world. And so, and then people want to move in and things like that to help out with the ministry as well. And that takes living facilities. It's, you know, this is just endless of what it is, all right? And then what?
Verse 13, he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Verse 14, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. Verse 15, but my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee.
Right, you know, all these promises, the more I've lived the Word of God, the more I see that what he said really is true. It happens just the way every promise that he makes, it comes to pass just as he said. And you can trust him. There's no one else that you can trust in this whole world. You can't trust. There's not a government on the face of this earth that you can trust. There's not any place on earth that you can trust except the Lord and his people. Amen?
Amen.
And there's a lot of people that say they're his people, but if they're not coming against Satan, coming against the Antichrist, his cult, government, and media, they're not, as far as I'm concerned, they're not of the Lord, as far as the Bible is concerned. They're not of the Lord. Okay, you have to speak out. You have to be bold and very courageous. This is like a Goliath that's never been before on the face of the earth, and that's what the Bible said. There's never been a treacherous situation like this ever in the history of the entire world. Okay? So we need to, you know, with God, we can do it. And with you, we want you to help. And God wants you to help. Okay? So don't get fidgety about it. You don't have to even pray about it. Just read the Bible and see. And look at the works we've done. Order our literature. Look up our website and see if we're not speaking out, okay, and making a difference. Why did they cut me off the air? Why have they, on false charges, put me in prison? Why do they want to silence me? Why are they causing so much trouble? The more we get the word out, the less trouble to be able to cause, because there's a lot of people like this soldier here that they're seeing what the government is doing, what this Antichrist government is doing in foreign nations. And it's amazing that the people here in the United States can't see what they're doing right here in the USA.
Amen.
Are we not going to other countries and bombing them and taking them over and saying, now we got to worry about North Korea or so-and-so Korea or the Arabic nations. We're going to have to go over there and bomb them. We, the United States, what have we got to do with that? Hmm?
No.
We're supposed to be one nation under God, sovereign. Amen. Separate. A Christian, a godly nation. Their doctrine offends me. When they say that God offends them, they say, oh, we have to take, one person says they got to take, the ACLU says we got to take all of God's name away and everything. No, they offend me. Let's get rid of them. Okay? Amen?
Amen.
What we need to do is close the ACLU and all these other people that don't like the nation the way it was, tell them to leave and go back to Germany where they came from, or wherever else they came from. Amen?
Amen.
Get them out of here. This is the United States. Now they're talking about where they're making a new constitution. In Germany, if you saw the motion picture, the Nuremberg trials, trial at Nuremberg, you'll see that they were killing all retarded people. Was your mother not retarded? Were you not ordered to go to the camps because you're retarded? Those people are the ones that retarded. If anyone should go to the camp, it's them. Amen?
Amen.
And they would gas them to death. The Bible says we're to comfort the feeble-minded, not put them to death. Amen?
Amen.
That no one has the right to put anyone to death. You don't even have the right to put your own self to death. You're supposed to believe in healing. Amen?
Amen.
The healing of the Lord. But what they're trying to do is preach the faith right out of people by saying the Bible, you know, the Bible is this, the Bible. No, it's them. And the Lord, we pray that God will open the eyes of everybody, people not only in government, but people in the Army, the Navy, Marines, all the United Nations armies, and the National Guards, and all the people, and these rich people. The Bible says it's easier for a rope to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, because they're just like greedy, and they hoard their finances and everything, and they won't turn loose of it, as though they're going to be able to retain it throughout eternity. Thou fool, this night your soul is liable to be required of you. Okay, wake up. You're living in a dream world. You're like in a pipe dream. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 16, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee.
See, the Lord promises, and it's true. There is a kingdom of heaven. Then what?
Thy throne shall be established forever.
Now, the throne being established forever is a prophecy of that the throne will belong to Jesus, King Jesus, the Messiah that's coming to the world. That's he's the son of David, and that means that his throne will be eternal. And it is. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there's never been another king in Israel after Christ came into the world, and after his crucifixion, there was no more kings except him. He's the eternal king. Okay, then what verse was that?
That was 16.
Keep going.
Verse 17. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Verse 18. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Verse 19, And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? Verse 20, And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. Translation, verse 11 through 20. From the time I appointed judges to rule my people, and I will keep you safe from all your enemies. Quote, and now the Lord declares that he will build a house for you, a dynasty of kings, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 12, quote, but when you die, I will raise up one of your descendants, and I will make his kingdom strong. Verse 13, He is the one who will build a house, a temple for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever.
Right, so he's building a holy house. He's converting through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ all these people on earth so that it's a holy house. The people are a house, a habitation for the Lord to live in by the Spirit. And then they live in him also. It's an eternal home for God and his people. It's like the New Jerusalem. We're married to him via the Holy Spirit. We're joined together with him. And there's no walking in the flesh at all after we are filled with this and walking with the Holy Spirit. And if we're walking in the Spirit, 10,000 could rise up against us, hundreds of millions could, and they will not prevail. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Amen?
Amen.
We are one with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We sit with him in heavenly places. Amen?
Amen.
And it's forever. And so we can't let anything shake us, or we can't be afraid of the big bad wolf or the boogeyman or the stinking Antichrist, the devil. Amen?
Amen?
Because he's a defeated foe. Jesus defeated him. Amen?
Amen.
And we're in Jesus, and Jesus is in us. Okay, then what?
Verse 14, I will be his father, and he will be my son. If he sins, I will use other nations to punish him.
Right. Well, the Lord is allowing the one world government, this Antichrist government, to put everybody in bondage except us. We're not in bondage. And even if when I was in prison, I was not in bondage because I've been set free from Satan. All right? I could, you know, and it didn't bind up the Word of God because the people in there heard me talking and they got saved. And I sent the gospel out of the prison into the world. Amen?
Amen.
And so the Lord has set us free. Then what else?
Verse 15, but my unfailing love will not be taken from him as I took it from Saul, whom I removed before you. Verse 16, your dynasty and your kingdom will continue for all time before me, and your throne will be secure forever. Unquote. Verse 17, so Nathan went back to David and told him everything the Lord had said. David's prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord. Verse 18, then King David went in and sat before the Lord and prayed, quote, who am I, O sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? Verse 19, and now, sovereign Lord, in addition to everything else, you speak of giving me a lasting dynasty, exclamation mark. Do you deal with everyone this way, O sovereign Lord? Verse 20, what more can I say? You know what I am really like, sovereign Lord. King James Version, verse 21, for thy word's sake and according to thine own heart hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Verse 22, wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee. Neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Verse 23, and what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemedest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. Verse 24, for thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel, to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God.
Right, and the Israel back then, God is going to have his Israel. And they failed, and so God, through Christ, has formed new Israel, new Jerusalem, and he's got his Israel now. And those of you that are hearing that are not part of the New Jerusalem yet, you could be part of the New Israel, because we all become spiritual Jews when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and you'll be part of the Lord and heirs and joint heirs of everything God has. And so it's just ridiculous not to give to God while you're able to do it, while you're still alive. Because once you're dead, there isn't anything you could do. God doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. And he knows if you can let go of your chump change, and for some of you guys that have got billions of bucks out there, a billion or two or ten would be chump change to you. Right?
Right.
Mr. Toyota or whoever you are. You know, think about that. Kikorian, and Mr. Wynn over there in Las Vegas. You're building gambling casinos. And then what happens when you check out? Where are you then? You've left it for a bunch of people that will just be happy that you died and that they got your money. But then you're standing before the Lord. And then what is... Say, you spent all this money to bilk people, and you knew that you were bilking them, and you used the excuse, well, somebody's going to get it, and it might as well be us. Because that's what Mrs. Wynn told me. Elizabeth Wynn, they own five of the major casinos in Las Vegas, and I was witnessing to them. And took pictures with Mrs. Wynn, with her their little kids. I've got pictures of it with me holding one of the little boys, the little boy, and she's holding the little girl. And she used to model my jackets. And she wanted, Mrs. Wynn was modeling my jackets. So I know the family. I have dinner with them and so on and so forth. But they've got some big, you know, they've got money enough to give something to God. Amen?
Amen.
Now they could say, well, God has blessed them. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's give some back to the Lord. Let's get the word out. You people are allowing the devil to destroy, attempting to destroy the name of the Lord and the Lord's people. And all it is just a money situation. The Bible says that money will answer all things. If we have the money, if you give it into the hands of people that will use it for the gospel, that'll be the first time you've ever spent money in the right direction. That'll be eternal money that you're spending. You're investing in the real future. Amen? The
Amen.
Real world.
Amen.
This is not the real world. The real world is the world that's to come. The invisible world, which is very visible when we get there. All right, keep going.
Verse 25. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said. Verse 26. And let thy name be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. Verse 27. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. Verse 28. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Verse 29. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it. And with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Translation verse 21 through 29. For the sake of your promise and according to your will, you have done all these great things and have shown them to me. Verse 22, quote, How great you are, O sovereign Lord! Exclamation mark. There's no one like you. There's no other God. We have never even heard of another God like you! Exclamation mark. Verse 23. What other nation on earth is like Israel? What other nation, O God, have you redeemed from slavery to be your own people? You made a great name for yourself when you rescued your people from Egypt. You performed awesome miracles and drove out the nations and gods that stood in their way. Verse 24. You made Israel your people forever, and you, O Lord, became their God. Verse 25. And now, O Lord God, do as you have promised concerning me and my family. Confirm it as a promise that will last forever. Verse 26. And may your name be honored forever, so that all the world will say, The Lord Almighty is God over Israel! Exclamation mark. And may the dynasty of your servant David be established in your presence. Verse 27. O Lord Almighty God of Israel, I have been bold enough to pray this prayer because you have revealed that you will build a house for me, an eternal dynasty! Exclamation mark. Verse 28.
Eternal dynasty, that's Jesus, ain't it?
Amen.
And that's us in him, in him in us. And all you big tithers out there that's going to be sending some tithes, and you're going to be included. But you're not if you don't. You know, there's so many false works. Send it over here. You can read our website. You'll see that we're not phony. All right?
Amen.
Even Little Richard said, Tony Alamo is the real deal.
Amen.
Amen? And thousands of people, millions of them are saying the same thing. But now, as to come the time, you know, when we need to get down into our pockets here. Amen?
Amen.
And show your faith by some works. Right? Now, you're not going to get out there and do what we're doing, but you could sure get some finances in here so we could do it all the more. All right, then what?
Verse 28. For you are God, O Sovereign Lord. Your words are truth, and you have promised these good things to me, your servant. Verse 29. And now may it please you to bless me and my family, so that our dynasty may continue forever before you. For when you grant a blessing to your servant, O Sovereign Lord, it is an eternal blessing! Exclamation mark, unquote.
All right, now we get to commentary.
7 verse 1. His house was the palace built by Hiram, king of Tyre. Chapter 5 verse 11. 7 verse 7. God reminds David of his original intent in telling him to shepherd my people Israel, not to build him a temple or house. 7 verse 12 through 16. The son of David, Solomon, and the son of David, the Messiah, Jesus, merge here. It is the Messiah's throne that the Lord is talking about that will be established forever. See Psalm 45 and Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8. In Israel, it was generally held that the Messiah was to come from the tribe of Judah and the throne of David.
Well, that's scriptural. That's what the scriptures say. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the truth, and he did. A lion from the tribe of Judah. Then what?
See also Psalm 2, verse 6 through 7, and Psalm 89, verse 3 through 4. 7, verse 12. Seed can refer either to one child or a multitude of children. It can also be used for future generations in a line of succession. Here it is used for both Solomon and Jesus the Messiah. 7 verse 14 through 15. Because of Solomon's sin of idolatry, at the end of his life the kingdom was torn away from his son Rehoboam. However, one portion was reserved for David's sake, and the line for the Messiah continued. 1 Kings chapter 11. Thus fulfilling the day's promise from the Lord. 7 verse 14. I will be his father. God as father appears over 200 times in the New Testament and is the exclusive way that Jesus refers to God. 7 verse 16. Both your house and your kingdom are established forever. This cannot mean physical house only, but reaches forward to Christ's statement, quote, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up, unquote. John 2, verse 19. Speaking of his body, read the connection with this chapter, Psalm chapter 8, verse 72, Psalm 78, 89, 110, and 132. 7, verse 17. Vision. The Old Testament always distinguishes between a vision and a dream. A vision is received while awake. 7 verse 18. Sat actually means, quote, remained, unquote. David spends a lot of time before the Lord, that is, in the tent where the ark stood. 7 verse 19. Quote, the manner of man, unquote, that is, the law of man. The way God has treated David is the way God intends men to treat one another. 7 verse 21. The two great motivations of God's blessings are faithfulness to his word and a loving generosity of his heart.
Right. It was my idea, you know, that I had such an ego that God had to break me. Now I see all the people that need this help, and he brought me to a point now that I can see that with my ability to in the past who have made finances. I'm full-time in the gospel, and I don't have the time to make finances any longer. And so my flesh has been dealt with now, and I've never asked for finances before. This is the first time I've ever come out and asked for them. And this means that not only my flesh is being dealt with, to say it, but my self. And everything that is with me, I'm like a broken person that just wants to do what the Lord says to do now. I need your help to evangelize the world. Okay, I admit, I come to the point now to where I'm broken enough to admit I can't do it myself, all right? I need your help. I need your help. Okay? And that isn't a sad thing for me. I actually feel the Spirit of the Lord blessing me right now because I'm doing this. You know that? Have you ever heard me ask for finances? Like, no. This is the first time you people are hearing this voice of mine asking for your help for the first time. I wanted to just conquer the entire earth for the Lord myself. But now the Lord wants me to include you. You can be co-worker with me. Amen? And this whole work, all the other Christians here. Praise the Lord.
7 verse 24. Not only is the kingdom of David to be forever, but Israel is your very own people forever. 7 verse 26 through 27. Lord of hosts emphasizes the power of God. The word hosts are the angelic armies of heaven. This powerful God will vanquish our enemies and fulfill the promises to David and his seed.
And we are his seed as well. Amen?
Amen.
We are the seed of the Messiah, the gospel. The seed is the word of God, and we are the fruit of the seed of the word of God, the Spirit. We are the fruit of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
If you sow grape seeds or, you know, radish seeds, my little girl is starting a garden she's going to plant. She's 3 years old and she's planting carrots and radishes and watermelon and cantaloupe and things like that. She plants those seeds and she's going to have those vegetables and fruit like that. And when the seed was given to us from the Lord, whether it was by him himself, the way he save my soul, or if it was from the seed that you heard the word of God, we've sprung up because the seed, the word of God, came into us, and we're the fruit of God, the good fruit, it's produce, word of God's produce. It's like a farm, God's farm. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to sow the seed, and we want to do it, and we want you to help us. All right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord, so that you can be involved in this, in the harvest, and you're going to reap a harvest of goodwill from the Lord when you're standing there, for sure. Don't ever doubt it. Okay, then what?
7 verse 9 through 16. God may have refused David's request to build the temple, but as we see here, God had an even better plan. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 4 through 6. God's plan involved establishing a greater covenant, which included the promise of an eternal kingdom with a descendant upon its throne forever. David was called upon to delay his desire to build a temple and to exercise patience and faith. There may be times when we have to wait patiently for our dream of recovery to become reality, but God has special plans for each of us, and when it unfolds, we can be sure it will be better than what we had in mind or hoped for. 7 verse 18 through 29. The final step in any successful recovery program involves recognizing God's authority in our life and allowing him to direct our plans. In this beautiful prayer, David called God, quote, Lord, unquote, no fewer than 11 times. David realized that God was his master, and that following God's will was of utmost importance. By submitting to God's will and looking to him for help, we will discover the power we need to overcome our difficulties. 7 verse 27 through 29. David took the time to review God's promises to him. God's word is filled with promises for us, and God delights as we prove those promises before him in prayer to him. This can be especially helpful in the midst of crisis, not that God needs reminding, but our memories usually experience some repercussion. David and Bathsheba. David had failed in many of his relationships. He tended to avoid conflict and therefore did not deal with some important issues in his life. David's first wife, Michal, was the daughter of King Saul. Their marriage was right out of a fairy tale. The king's beautiful daughter married to the one-time shepherd boy turned great war hero, who was also the most talented musician of his day. Their early relationship appeared to be fine, but over time, difficulties developed. Michal was separated from David for several years when Saul gave her to another man to spite David. Later, David won her back, but brought her into a house filled with other wives. Their relationship was never truly reestablished after Michal's return. They apparently kept the pain of their separation to themselves and from each other. Michal exploded at David for dancing before the ark as he celebrated the return to Jerusalem, chapter 6, verse 16. It seems that her bitterness and frustration over the years of separation and neglect had built to the boiling point. Unfortunately, there is no indication that they ever tried to heal their damaged marriage relationship. Instead, they seem to have settled into destructive silence.
Well, then David put her in ward purposely to destroy her flesh, herself, her self-will, and to be able to control her tongue. And it didn't destroy David. Okay, then what? What he did with Bathsheba and Bathsheba's husband is what eventually destroyed David's self and flesh and his own opinions and ideas. Then what?
David complicated his life further by his infatuation and adultery with Bathsheba, chapter 11, verse 1 through 27.
His murder of Uriah. Then what?
This sin led to a tragic and tangled web of deceit involving Uriah's murder and a rushed marriage to a pregnant Bathsheba. This string of self-induced tragedies left a cloud of shame that hung over David throughout the rest of his life. David's own children would repeat his mistakes and sins, bringing further suffering to the royal family. The daughter of Saul remained childless throughout her life because she mocked David for rejoicing over the return of the ark.
All right, praise the Lord. That was 2 Samuel chapter 7 with its 29 verses, the translation and the commentaries. And right now we're going to do the 11th in a series of dealing with the self on another tape, because of this, the fact that this tape has already taken over a couple of minutes over 60 minutes. So until chapter 8 of 2 Samuel, and also until the first of the series of another series tomorrow, we're going to, this is Tony Alamo, your pastor, saying praise the Lord and God bless you.